recognize now, I was much more critical and aggressive. Things have changed just because that sort of backfired on me on occasions. I noticed devotees told me, and you have to mellow out with age because you sort of wear yourself out with that type of thing as well. So best that it be selective rather than just a natural way of being. But I know personally, I never meant harm, and a lot of times I never even noticed it. I don't want to blame it on my mother, but I will. Because that was sort of the way I was raised. My father was completely different, but that was sort of raised, and then I started realizing that when I was getting feet, I'm trying to think, well, that's not the way I want it to be. And at first people say because they want to be something different and they think that they're being different, therefore they even deny it. They argue, well, that's not true, I didn't do that. First of all, listen, I was on the other side of it, I know what you were. So then you come to realize that things aren't necessarily, people are, like for instance, if you talk and you record yourself, what you hear on the recorder is a lot different than what you hear when you're talking. The voice sounds a lot different. So the way we're talking, and we have sort of a psychology, an intent, and it just sort of comes out according to our conditioning, and we may think that I'm actually trying to help someone, but meanwhile that other person's being sort of blown away. So it takes time, and what to speak of the fact that if you happen to be a sannyasi guru, GBC, then it's going to be a lot harder. Just everyone isn't going to tell you and give you feedback, which is another problem of communication when people don't communicate, particularly because of the position and they're worried. It's just not an easy thing to do, so you only get it from a few people who don't have any type of position blocks or barriers. So people sometimes are hard. I'm just saying that people are sometimes harsh, but actually they don't think that way because they're just being conditioned like that. They don't think they're being harsh. They think they're being nice or they're just being normal. There's ways of being normal. And it requires good channels of communication. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we've got channels of communication where people don't feel threatened, for one. That it's not something that's coming down on them, every minute of the day, but in a very mutually acceptable format. Because Vaishnavas are pretty, they're sort of like delicate commodities. You don't want to rub them the wrong way, even if they're tolerant. Krishna's not. Whoever they may be. Just have to be careful. So we don't want to be abrasive with devotees. We don't want to be harsh with them. Because if Krishna doesn't like it, then even if the devotee's tolerant, then we're going to be in trouble. And that was one of the issues, major problems that built up. Committed offenses and they accumulated. So we don't want to do that. That's the other thing. We're not just living in an ordinary society. We're sort of like living in a glass menagerie. There's this play called the Glass Menagerie. So So, you know, it's like everything in here is made of glass, not out of wood and metal. You'd really be walking carefully because you knock something over and it's broken. So it's like, it's not that devotees are broken, but, you know, you bump into them the wrong way, you do the wrong thing, and Krishna takes it very seriously. So our interactions have to be in how we speak, even how we think, but that's, you know, a little hard to control. Certainly how we act with each other, it's really got to be very wise, gentlemanly. That's our sort of Western idea of being like gentlemen, because Krishna takes it very seriously.
Is one solution, Maharaj, to if you feel you are harsh, to just switch off to it? If you see a situation where you feel the person needs to be rectified, but he's not going to appreciate you trying to rectify him, that one solution is when you just switch off. He's got his canoe to paddle, and I've got mine, so I'm going to paddle my canoe.
Meaning you don't associate with the person?
We associate with them, but you don't point out what you feel.
Yeah, if the relationship is there, you may not be the person to communicate with it. But if you're right, other people will also notice, and other people will also know. So it won't be a mystery. And that means that people who are in a position to communicate with that person will. But sometimes, you know, it's like with children, there's only so much. So the education system is such that you can only teach so much at a time. That's why it takes you, I don't know, 7 years of elementary school and 4 years of high school, and because you can't learn it all in 1 year unless you happen to be a genius. So we also have to be sort of patient with each other, that recognize that the person's only able to change so much at a time. And particularly, learning is easy, changing is much more difficult. Because changing, really, real change, there's two types of change. One is change of heart, and that's really permanent change. And the other one is where a person can change his behavior because he's sufficiently self-controlled, even though within he hasn't yet fully changed. So that's the mode of goodness. Is that you can act the right way, you can behave the right way, even though, you know, inside, and so, and actually, that's required. That's what's required to live here. You're not free of sex life, but you have to control the sex drive. And that's what we do. So, and that's the other thing, that we can't be hammering person on a regular basis. And we have to see, just, okay, someone takes something on board, and then just wait and see. And ultimately, we can't force. If someone becomes such that he's really too abrasive and he causes too much friction with devotees, then you may say, okay, but, you know, unless he really changed his behavior, you can't live like this amongst Vaishnavas. I mean, that's an ultimate issue. But, you know, it was for the whole Balabhadra scenario, I was, you know, trying to work with him and communicate to him. Ultimately, I couldn't force. It was when it was apparent, okay, but this behavior just doesn't fit, and you're not changing, so then you have to step out of the position, because that's our standard. But there was certainly a lot of patience and a lot of trying to work with issues. So that's a sort of a balancing game, and that's why we have to be tolerant with each other, because it's not enough just to say, okay, you've got this problem, you've got to change. It takes time. It takes time just to get control, what to speak of. It takes time to change the heart. Ultimately, when our hearts become pure, then, you know, 26 qualities of impurity, they all manifest. In the meantime, we can cultivate those qualities, and that's good. And, you know, shutting off, that's sort of like a last resort, because it really means that shutting off is one thing, and the other one is just sort of formal communication. Friendly, but distant. Polite, and distant. But I don't mix with this person because he's maybe causing too much stress. But whatever we do it in a nice way. We do it the right way. So it's always a nice practice. I learned that from one of our previous GBCs, Omavacharyas, who's had some very good leadership qualities, this thing of, you know, getting used to complimenting people about things and saying, thank you, you know, you finished your meal, thank you for the meal, it was nice, it was good. Even though you have to do it every day, which means that you're doing it 10,000 times in your life, you have to repeat yourself, but you do it because it means something to the person who cooked. And just saying nice things to other people. And that's when it started to mature in me. I saw that actually I was raised in a family where the outspoken person in the family's business was always finding fault. And even to this very day, that's how she functions. Her main thing is always saying, can't go 2 minutes without putting in a jibe at someone. And that, therefore, you know, I lived with that for 18 years. Till I moved out, and so it was in me. So it takes a while to see things, to get hold of it, and then to sort of change. And even now, I'm sort of trying to change and cope with that. And we all come with a lot of dysfunctional behaviors into Krishna consciousness. This morning he was like out here chanting japa. I was in there trying to write mixed concept. But he was chanting so loud, I couldn't think, so I had to come out and chant so loud. So in a certain culture, that would like sort of come naturally. It was just like now, I'm looking forward to, because my next door neighbors are going to be quiet, there's just two guests in there. But otherwise, it's like it's 4 o'clock, it's phenomenal. You know, it's like wham, bang, poof. It's like everyone's really running. But today, you know, because everyone went to bed late, everyone was running for 5 o'clock. And it was like a hurricane, which if someone's sort of conscientious and thinks, then he just thinks, okay, but, you know, you just don't slam doors. I don't know if that's news or anything. But you probably heard it from your grandmother. You don't do it. And then when you do, so it's things like that. The small things. And that should be the least of the problem, is that we're chanting Hare Krishna loudly. But we're bringing a lot of other things with us. And you see the newer generations coming, because you're actually no longer degeneration. You're already they're the next generation. You're like this daddy. And they're coming with more and more baggage. Any other points? Considering that you're all going to have a feast at 9:30 at night.
When you see somebody doing something wrong, should I repeat that to correct them or to just see, or maybe I should just see the good and overlook the bad? I understand that too.
Should we what?
Just see the good and overlook the bad.
It depends. It really, you know, many things ultimately only work with discrimination. And there's not going to be just some hard and fast formula to things. It affects you after a while, just telling people, in other words, because you start just seeing that. Krishna says every endeavor is covered by fault. So more or less we can assume that there's fault in everything everyone does. Sometimes, many times, you know, if the fault is minor in some significant activity, just don't say anything. If something's really obstructing the flow of service, you may really have to say something. Otherwise, you're going to be implicated in, you know, some offense to the deities or the devotees in the kitchen because something's really not being done right. And sometimes it's a real austere. I know, okay, so someone comes in, Brinda comes in the other day. I say, Brinda, take the offering off the altar to the deity. She kneels down, and as she's about to reach out, you know, she touched the floor, she's about to reach out and take the deity's plate. So just a minute, just the bathroom before I do that. Sometimes I get bored doing it, you know. It would be better not to say it. But if I didn't say it, and it's my duty, you know, I'm a spiritual master, and these are also my deities, it's my responsibility to take care. If I don't say it, she's going to commit an offense, and I'm going to share it, not going to share it, I'm going to get a bigger reaction than she is for not saying the right thing, so it's my duty to do it, so I have to do it. But then sometimes you just, you know, but you can't do it all the time, you just have to know when is it the right time, the right place, the right circumstance? When are you duty bound to do something and when not? And it comes with experience, it comes with knowing the weight of things. But fault is always going to be. You may as well just assume that it's going to be like that. Krishna says, every endeavor is covered by some kind of fault.
What's going to speed up the process of getting free from bad habits that have been inherited from Balabhadra? Because the natural tendency is that you, as a disciple, you try to imitate, put into practice what you see him doing. So, reinitiation would seem like your way of kind of modeling yourself on somebody else.
Good association. Like you're doing, inviting the other Vaishnavas, like Sridhar said, then you see that, you know, how others behave different. And of course everyone's got their own individual way, as well individuals are behaving, but they're different. And then discussing amongst yourselves, read Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you find out how Vaishnavas behave. Śrīla Prabhupāda's lectures, particularly his conversations. Krishna will help. It isn't that, you know, everything you learn from him is wrong. It's not. But, and it's sort of inevitable. You know, I mean, I'm hungry. People are there again, although it's not as geographically isolated, but it's linguistically isolated. So, more or less, my stamp is on the devotees there. In other words, my way, my personality is definitely going to influence them. And in some places it'll be better, and in some ways it'll be worse. And we just have to leave it, you know. Ultimately, Yogakshemavamiham, Krishna will correct things, because as long as, you know, as long as leaders remain conditioned souls, we can't help that their conditioning is going to influence others. Particularly when they're really local, like Balabhadra, who was really local. He was really here, and I'm more or less there when the devotees are like sort of passing through. But then it comes down to the next thing, then it becomes the temple president. So his nature also impresses and filters down on others, as does a department head, as do friends each other, and that's karma. So we're impressionable creatures, and we get things from others. And we need to have that type of confidence that ultimately Krishna is the perfect person. And, you know, if we chant nicely and we read, then we're open to him sort of balancing things out and ensuring that we don't get too far off in some direction. Should we take a side? An important point to discuss.
You could ask about confidentiality. Like if you come to somebody with a problem and tell him, and then the person tells like to everybody else.
That's not good. You come and tell someone you're having some very serious problem, it is probably his duty to go and tell to the temple president. He shouldn't tell others. Because that's, then you really can't have a friend if you can't hold things confidential. So, unfortunately, I'm a sort of like a repository of nightmare-like secrets. that's the basis of a relationship. You can't spread it. That then becomes politics. That's politics. But you come and tell, I don't know, some other friend that you've got this really bad problem, and say, you know, smoking dope or something. Then if he doesn't tell the temple president, then you're both implicated, and so he can't be confidential. But that's being confidential, because you're only telling the person who has to be told. When you tell people who don't have to be told, then that's politics. It's a very bad thing, because it breaks trust. And that's what we need. So, I mean, that's the essence of everything, love and trust. We need to be able to trust in each other, because we're a really small society. And we didn't choose each other on top of that. We're just like forced onto each other. Outside society, people choose their friends. They choose, you know, they choose who they want to associate with. Maybe you don't have a choice who you work with, but you choose your friends. We're like, you know, the same people. We're forced onto each other. We have to work with them, we have to worship with them, we have to sleep with them, we have to eat with them, we do everything. No society functions like that. There's no society that functions where you do this everything with the same people and you didn't even choose them. So that's why Prabhupada said, you know, you really have to be extremely tolerant, and that trust has to be there. Love may come afterwards, but you know, building relationships of trust, that we're reliable people, and that's a real aspect of reliability.
What is the difference, like, between sentimental love or spiritual love? Is there any difference?
Spiritual love is when you get on the transcendental platform. And up until then, it may not be completely pure, but prashanga ajarapasham atmanam kavayogidu. Lord Kapila Dev says that, you know, the attachment that leads one to bondage in this material world, when you direct that towards Vaishnavas, it opens the door to liberation. Mokshadvaram bhavitam. So being attached to Vaishnavas can never be wrong, even if it's sentimental, because they're the people who are going back to Godhead, so that means we're also attached somehow to Godhead by being attached to Vaishnavas. And like everything becomes purified, our attachment becomes purified, Krishna consciousness. It's not a bad thing, even if it's not complete and perfect. Okay, listen, if you guys are brave enough to take prasadam at this time, I think it'll popcorn and milk.
I'll probably just have a mouthful or two.
I'm a kind of mouthful. Okay. Yeah, we went. There was no one else to meet with tonight, right?
No.
Okay, so tomorrow, Radhika and everyone else will meet tomorrow. Okay. So I'll just come over, talk a little, but then after prasadam we'll come back, take some rest, and then be ready by 3:30, 4 o'clock. Shubha Bhakti.
Jaya.